worry about anything but everything but prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Again, Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Verses 1 through 18, Proverbs chapter 3. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you're a heavenly Father that loves us enough to give us wisdom for all areas of life, wisdom that teaches us to listen for truth and to walk in obedience to it, wisdom that teaches us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, believers that are continually reading and meditating on your word and continually seeking to live according to its wisdom, its counsel, and its empowerment. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of gaining more and more of your wisdom through your word each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we'll be introducing our phone guest in just a moment. But let me remind you, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a very good day to start that very important habit. I often like to share, encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word of God. Remember, God's Word is pregnant with the ability to bless you. When you read the Word, you're pouring grace, peace, power, light, and joy into your mind, your heart, your life. You need it. I need it. Our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. Everybody needs it. Let's make it a goal to both daily fill our hearts with the Word of God and to challenge and encourage others to do the same, both members of your family, co-workers, fellow church members, or whoever you might run into. Again, if you challenge them to start reading 3 chapters a day, you'll be blessing them tremendously. The challenge itself is a seed from the Holy Spirit to spark something important in the heart of a person. God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Again, you need it. I need it. We all need the precious Word of God. Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Let's get more and more into God's Word every single day. I want to remind you, if you haven't already, please take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. Also, we'd like to encourage you, if you don't have any of our, if you haven't taken the time to get a mobile app from Urban, we do have free mobile apps for iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and through that means you can listen to Urban wherever in the world you just might happen to be on a journey to. Again, take Urban with you wherever you go. We encourage you to go to our Facebook pages, if you would. Go to Urban Family Talk. Go to Hour of Intercession or Hour of Intercession Live. We have 2 different Facebooks. We encourage you to check out both of them if you would. We are in the midst of a very important campaign this week, working with a ministry called Preborn, a wonderful ministry that's reaching out to moms who may find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in life. Preborn and Urban Family Talk are asking you to help support this very important ministry to help moms choose life by providing free ultrasounds. Remember, Preborn worked with hundreds of Christian pregnancy centers throughout our country, and they provide life-saving services, including free ultrasounds. Also, along with that, the centers provide mothers who choose life with helpful gifts and different gifts that will bless and encourage them, including, like, for example, maternity and baby clothes, free diapers, car seats. Of course, all the services they provide are free of charge, and we can help them to continue to do this kind of work free of charge by giving in what, you know, helping to support the wonderful and the powerful work that Preborn does. Preborn centers have counseled thousands of women who were considering abortion, and they've actually seen some wonderful results, including they've helped save over 33,000 babies. 69,000 women have heard the gospel through the great work of Preborn, and more than 15,000 individuals have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ through this wonderful and powerful work. Your gift of $28 can help provide one single woman seeking an abortion one free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. Remember that 140 can provide five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life as well. And all that you give, 100% of it, will go towards this very important outreach directly to the pregnancy centers providing these free ultrasounds. If you'd like to get involved, you can call this number, 1-877-616-2396. Again, 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. We have the privilege of having by phone today as our guest, Reverend Bill Cook. Reverend Cook is the founder and the CEO of the Black Regiment, the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. Reverend Cook, how are you today?
Doing great. Good to be with you.
Good to have you on today. And again, I appreciate very much the opportunity to get hold of you. My guess is you're probably running most every day, and we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. And as we start off again, I want to ask if you'll really further introduce yourself and your ministry to our listeners. Again, you're the founder and the CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. And my guess is almost, if not every single listener, probably is curious at the title there. Would you tell them what your ministry is and what its
Sure.
mission is?
Well, the Black Robe Regiment was a derisive reference to the clergy of the American Revolution, because they figured so prominently in the drive for independence. So in referring to the Black Robes that the clergy wore, they called them the Black Regiment or the Black Robe Regiment. And that term stuck, and rightfully so, because the clergy were really prominent in promoting the political ideology that eventually became enshrined in the Charters of Freedom or the Founding Charters. And not only that, they preached revolution, they preached the right of revolution. Many of them led troops in the war. They formed bands of Minutemen and marched into battle with the men of their congregations. And I would say that without the clergy and the churches that were behind them, that we wouldn't have America today as it is. America truly is a work of the church in America. Today we have a problem in that so many of us have been conditioned to think that the church has no business in the civil discourse, civil government, in the public domain. And so it's critical, I believe, that pastors lead their churches in asserting the church's role and leadership and influence in government, starting at the local level all the way up. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's a long answer to a question, but it's critical that clergy engage now, because we're losing the culture, as most people know. We're losing the culture. In the last 20, 30 years, it's been decaying, and it's testament to the absence of salt and light
in
the culture.
And so this is an organization geared mainly toward clergy to really stir them to get more involved with reaching out into the culture to minister the truth of God's word.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And this ministry and organization is located, what part of Virginia?
We are located in, well, I, we're located in Chantilly, Virginia, but we have pastors all around the state who are supportive of the mission and share the vision.
Okay. Does this ministry exist in other, like, other chapters of this ministry in other states as well?
Well, there are other organizations in other states that have similar ministries. For instance, there is the Family Research Council's Watchmen on the Walls. They have an organization of pastors that are in probably most of the states that do similar things. And so there are other Black Regiment groups around the country. Some of them I probably don't even know about, but I know that there is a movement among clergy to do the things that we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, share with our listeners a little bit more about your ministry and some of the kinds of things that you've been involved in specifically as you carry out your mission.
Sure. Well, one of the things we're doing right now, which we're really excited about, is a project called Josiah Project. And I know this is an issue that's near and dear to your heart, Pastor Joseph. Mm-hmm. It was Josiah. He was the one king who, in his repentance, he tore down the high places. And as we know, those were places of sacrifice to false deities. Mm-hmm. And today, the high places in America are abortion clinics. It's where our unborn are being sacrificed, really, to the spirit of the age. And so what we're doing in the Josiah Project is we are inviting churches to join us in praying on a periodic basis for the clinics that are near them to close. We've seen just through the ministry of 40 Days for Life, we've seen a lot of clinics, as you know, close around the country.
That's right.
In the last few years. And so we want to see abortion in this country end. It needs to end, or we're never going to recover liberty in this country. Fully recover it. Abortion has to end, and so we're going to hit it from all angles. But we're mainly going to bring the weapons of our warfare that God has given us to bear on this issue through prayer and intercession. Mm-hmm. And so we're inviting pastors in our state, and we're primarily focused there now in Virginia, inviting pastors to adopt a clinic for prayer, to pray. Asking the pastors and their congregations to pray once per week for 10 minutes. It's not a huge commitment, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. for the closing of that clinic and however else the Holy Spirit leads them. And also we're asking churches to take a half hour a week to spend time in front of the clinic that they focused on praying that it would close, to spend a half hour at that clinic praying and ministering to women that may be trying to go in or come out. Mm-hmm. So we literally just launched that in the last few weeks.
Okay.
We've already started getting a response from churches too, by the way. So we're excited about that.
Okay, so you're inviting people, both pastors and the members of the congregation, to specifically pray for 10 minutes a day that these mm-hmm. abortion clinics would close, and also for those that would to come out to the clinics physically to be there, to be sidewalk counselors. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to hold signs, to pray and intercede, and to be sidewalk counselors as the opportunity presents itself.
Okay then. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our guest today is Reverend Bill Cook. He's the founder and CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. And on the other side of the break, we're going to, of course, if any of our listeners possibly have questions, they'll be able to direct them to you. But also want you to share a little bit more about the great work that you're involved in the state of Virginia. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our spiritual heritage tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
I get it. Being a young single woman in your mid to late 20s can have its struggles. Every time you get on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, someone from your high school or college years has a boyfriend, engaged, married, or married with kids. You find yourself always being the bridesmaid and never the bride. Be of good cheer. Don't covet the idea of marriage to the point you're willing to settle for anyone. Remember, everyone has a calling, and your calling is your ministry, and who you marry can make or break it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, Paul tells us that if you are unmarried, care for the things concerning the Lord and how you may please Him. God's timing is perfect timing, and if it's in His will for you to marry, it will happen in His time. Till then, there's plenty of kingdom work that needs to get done. With the heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Psalm 97:12 says, "Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to His holy name." This is Vonette Bright. God knows exactly what your needs are right now. He knows what you're going through, and yet He wants to hear the expression of your heart in gratitude. Does that seem strange to you? Think of it this way. When you say, "Thank you, Lord," what you're doing is underscoring trust in your Heavenly Father. Sometimes I've discovered over the years that when I'm thankful in the little things, even the bad little things, it's much easier to praise Him for all the situations He brings into my life, good and bad. Maybe you don't feel glad today. Then this verse I've read in Psalm 97:12 is just for you. Make it your prayer to your Heavenly Father. Then notice the blessings God brings your way.
Marvin Sapp, the song "Teach My Hands to War." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. A song with a powerful message and a good reminder that, like it or not, every day Every believer in the world is engaged in spiritual warfare, and we need to be equipped with the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to use us to be vessels through which God can make conquest every single day. I want to remind you about two important events that are coming up. We do have coming up next week a prayer seminar that will happen at New Hope Church in Natchez, Mississippi, New Hope Division Center at 7 o'clock. Bishop Stanley Searcy is the pastor. If you can join us at New Hope in Natchez at 7 o'clock Tuesday of next week, the 17th of January, please do. If you can't get there, please pray, because a very vital part of equipping the church is teaching and stirring the church to take prayer very, very seriously, that every believer would become a prayer warrior in their own circle of influence. Also, the following day, we'll be having a Festival for Life at White Hill Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, White Hill at 6 p.m., and we invite you to come out and be with us there, White Hill at 1987 Southeastern Boulevard in Tupelo, Mississippi, 6 o'clock Wednesday, January the 18th. Come and be with us there with Pastor Jeffrey Daniels, the pastor there, for a Festival for Life at White Hill Church in here, right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Our phone guest today is Reverend Bill Cook. He's the founder and CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. Reverend Cook, would you pick up where you left off? Well, I'll tell you, before we do, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for our listeners to really open up their mind and their heart to recognize the importance of getting involved in ministry like what you're talking and challenging believers to do through the work of the Black Robe Regiment. Would you pray for our listeners in that way?
Would love to. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for today.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you,
Jesus,
that you are still on the throne no matter what has happened in our country. Lord, with all the conflict and division right now and the things that are going on leading up to the inauguration of a new president.
Thank you,
Lord. We see the things that are happening, the confusion, the division, Lord, the animosity. We see those as evidence of the absence of your people.
Thank you,
Lord. In matters of government. And Lord, more particularly, we see it as evidence of a lack of spiritual leadership in our country. And so, God, we pray. I pray for every person on this radio program today that's listening. I pray especially for pastors that they would understand that they have a divine duty that you have placed upon them, not just to shepherd their churches, but to shepherd the community around their churches. Lord, you said the church is salt and the church is light.
Yes, Lord.
That means we expose evil, Lord. It means if we are salt, we have a curative impact on the society around us. Lord, that means if our society is in decay and falling apart, if the church is not fulfilling its mission in the community that surrounds it. So, Lord, we pray that that would change. We pray that pastors realize they have a duty to shepherd those who are not in the church. Jesus, you said, I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. Lord, you're concerned about the sheep that are not part of your fold,
Jesus,
as you're concerned about those that are. So, Lord, we pray you would help pastors to see their legacy, the amazing, glorious legacy of the church in America. The church is truly the founder of America.
Yes,
and Lord, we pray that there would be a revival, a great awakening in our churches that would provoke people to get involved. And we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for doing these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right. Again, our phone guest today is Reverend Bill Cook, the founder and CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. Before you move forward sharing more about your ministry, would you share, speak just some insight about this, if you would, Reverend Cook? You are challenging pastors and members to go specifically to abortion clinics and to pray in front of them. Now, my guess is probably the majority of our listeners have never, ever been to an abortion clinic. You're challenging them to do something that some people would consider radical. But again, would you share why you're challenging people to do that, believers to do that?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked, because that's one of the things I did want to talk about. There's the shedding of innocent blood is a very serious thing in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He holds not just the individuals who do the shedding of innocent blood responsible, but he holds the community around those individuals that those individuals reside in responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you why I believe that. There's a section of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. It's called the law concerning one found slain in the land. In other words, God says if somebody is found dead in a field in your land, he lays down some very specific guidelines for dealing with that. If you don't, if the community does not know who the slayer is, then he said that God says the elders and the judges shall come forth, and they shall measure the distance to the cities that are round about the dead man. And it shall be that the city that's next to the man, the one closest, the elders of the city will take a heifer, which has not, it's never been worked with, never been yoked. And then he says, the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown. In other words, it hasn't been cultivated for farming, and shall strike off the heifer's head there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for them the Lord your God has chosen to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And their word shall, and by their word, every controversy and every stroke shall be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto your people whom you have redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto your people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. God takes it very seriously to call for this kind of action over a dead body found in a field. God's saying, I take this very seriously. In fact, it's really a crime against natural law, because the first murder occurred before the law was ever given.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Cain was judged because of it. So God, the other things that God says is, he says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them. Well, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself there. But God says the blood of the unborn is unexcusable, because he says, for blood defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it, and also for the innocent blood that Manasseh shed. I'm sorry, I've got a couple of verses going together there. But the point is that the land cannot be cleansed of innocent blood. The blood cries unto God from the ground for justice.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
When we, in America, having slain 67 million unborn Americans, unborn children, our land is... the land of America is drenched in blood. And so there is going to be a reckoning at some point in the future. There is going to be a reckoning. God is not going to just wink at that sin. And so there will be a reckoning.
That's
and
right.
The sooner we get to the business of repentance and turning to God and ending this it's really a crime against nature in our land, the sooner we are going to see things turn around.
That's right.
God even says in 2 Kings 24:2, he said, the Lord sent against King Jehoiakim bands of the Chaldeans and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
We see threats rising up around America, around the world. Most notably, we understand the Islamic threat. And now we see an Iranian radical Islamic regime pursuing nuclear weapons.
That's right.
And you wonder how God, if people are paying attention,
right,
to what is happening. And so that's why we want to end this scourge.
And
we
Reverend
believe
Cook,
it's got to end.
You know, and along with that too, within our own land, crime in some of our larger cities is just way out of control, and again, you wonder, where is all this coming from? And of course, as you're speaking of, again, as we've shed innocent blood, it affects every aspect of our society and our world.
It does. And now, you know, with this whole effort to normalize lesbianism and homosexuality and the idea of same-sex marriage. I mean, that is another abomination that God will not tolerate.
That's right.
It's a very it's a very tenuous time in America right now. I don't know how aware people are of that, but I feel like we're in a, I just feel like America is at a precipice that it really radical action is required.
And that's right.
That's why I started the Black Robe Regiment, because I have five children. Now I've got eight grandchildren, and I am deeply, deeply concerned about the future of this nation. And it would be irresponsible for me not to try and do something to turn it around and just leave it on its current trajectory when I've got, you know, I have my whole my posterity to be concerned about at a minimum, not to mention the rest of the culture.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's okay. An imperative.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more about some of the outreach, the ministries that the Black Robe Regiment is involved with in your area.
Well, what we're doing is it's not so much an evangelistic ministry, although obviously everybody is called to witness, and I share the gospel wherever I go and right. whoever I'm with. But what we're doing is we're trying to stand up, and we're in the early stages of it, but we're standing up brigades, we're calling them brigades, of pastors mm-hmm. in all of the counties and municipalities in Virginia. And we want them to essentially assert themselves in local government, not to focus on statewide government necessarily or federal government, that can come, but to really focus on shepherding the local government. I'm talking about school boards, mm-hmm. city and town councils, to be present at meetings, to let these individuals that are governing know that the leaders of the church, who are their constituents, are present in the meeting, and they're holding them accountable to biblical standards. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of this. Just this Tuesday in Loudoun County, where I live, I invited pastors to join me. Some did come. We had a school board meeting, and the school board, one of the things the school board was taking up was the issue of an employee non-discrimination policy that favored LGBTQ. And so from our perspective, when you start to bring people into the school who are teaching or administrating and they exhibit that lifestyle, you are teaching children that it's okay.
That's right.
To live in that formal lifestyle. So we went. I decided there were a lot. We had a strategy session to talk about it. Several people chose to talk about legal and other practical concerns. I figured, well, there's so many people doing that. There were hundreds of people at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I decided I was just going to speak to the issue from a moral perspective. Mm-hmm. And I said that, and then I got up. We didn't have much time. Everybody had a minute. And I basically read scriptures about the fear of God mm-hmm. and our accountability to God. I didn't condemn anybody. It was I sat down. And in fact, one of the interesting things that happened is after I was finished, I was sitting out in the lobby, and a gentleman came out about a half hour later, and he walked up to me. He said, "Hey, I just want to thank you for reading scripture tonight." Mm-hmm. He said, "That was really good." And he said, the other thing he said was, I'm an NBC reporter. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm on the inside, and I'm trying to basically be a light to influence mm-hmm. the reporting in a godly direction instead of
Praise
some of the,
God.
Mm-hmm. agenda-driven stuff we've seen." And so that was very encouraging. And mm-hmm. and as it turns out, there were other pastors too. One pastor actually preached the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And the board ended up, they came in with, we felt like the vote was going to be 5-4 against the proposed policy.
Real quick, we're coming up on a break now. I want you to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Reverend Bill Cook, the founder and CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. We'll be right back.
It's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Dr. Tony Evans says if the Lord's direction for your life doesn't make sense, don't worry, it's not supposed to. We'll find out why today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Because God is sovereign, He is never caught by surprise, and He never says, oops, that one got away from me. Because if He's controlling the big and the little, that means He's not surprised by anything. What shocks you was long known by Him. So, here is the word. The word is providence. God arranging things. So let me help you right now about providence. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, God says that His ways are unsearchable. You can't Google His providence and get the intricate details of how He does what He does, because it is past finding out. So don't be surprised when God doesn't make sense. He's not supposed to, because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, and they're not even close. As high as the heavens are above the earth, Isaiah 55 says, so is the gap between God's thinking and our thinking, God's ways and our ways. He is the unfigureoutable God. The only things you can figure out is what He decides to tell you. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says He doesn't tell you everything. He, like you and your kids, He tells you what He wants you to know. But He doesn't tell you everything, because His ways are unsearchable.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love Him. Longing for a child that will give Him their all, give it all, He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give Him their all, give it all, He wants it all. And He says, love Me, love Me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give Him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And He says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today.
You're listening to Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Reverend Bill Cook. He's the founder and CEO of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia. As we start off this last segment, Reverend Cook, would you take time to pray for pastors as well as all the other believers listening to really grasp the need to really go after what you're speaking of, to recognize that we are God's vessels. We are called to be salt and light in a community that desperately needs the light of God's word and the light of God's grace in their lives. Would you pray for them at this time?
Amen. Lord, we do ask that you would continue to open eyes. Lord, open eyes. I pray that you would grant not just to church members, Lord, but to pastors, that you would give them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that you would open the eyes of their understanding. They might know what the hope of your calling is. And God, we pray that, again, we pray that you would put a fire in them, Lord, to see the activity of reaching the local government and the community and ending abortion, all of those things as a tool of evangelism. God, I know that so many pastors feel overburdened. I've talked to them, Lord. They just don't feel like they could take another thing on. But, Lord, you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light.
Yes,
and you don't
Lord,
call us
Jesus.
To take on anything that you do not give us the grace and energy to fulfill.
Thank
so, Lord,
you,
I pray Jesus. That you would light a fire. God, that you would begin to open eyes, that pastors would begin to see what you showed me several years ago when I felt called to stand up and begin to do something
yes,
about
Lord.
The way our culture was going. And Lord, I just pray that you move mightily by your spirit
on
leaders. I pray for pastors that you would fill their hearts and minds with your word. Lord, I pray for a great awakening in this country through the pastors. I pray that they would realize the key role that they
Thank
play
you,
in bringing about the desperately needed great awakening. Lord, I don't believe America
Thank
can
you,
be restored
Jesus.
Without a great awakening. So, Lord, we pray today for a mighty outpouring of your spirit. Lord, we want the latter rain. We don't just want to go out with a whimper in this day and age. But, God, we want to go out with our lamps burning, and we want to go out with everything that you say in your word happening through our lives, Lord, the miracles, the people coming to Christ. God, move mightily through us and through our pastors. And bless the pastors, Lord, that have made the sacrifice to take on this ministry. Lord, it is a high and holy calling, and they're doing a good work. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Thank you for the ministry of the Black Robe Regiment there in Virginia. And thank you for other ministries you've raised up like that. And Lord, thank you for
yes.
your Holy Spirit at work in the heart of every single believer that's listening. Lord, stir us to recognize that you can use each one of us as we simply make ourselves mm-hmm. available, and that you want each of us to be salt and light where we are, in our homes, on our jobs, in the community, in the factory, in the office, in the school, wherever we are. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so many that are very much in darkness. Sometimes we sit in class next to them. Sometimes there are people that live in our own home, people who we need to tell them, both to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and also share with them the light of God's word that points us to choose life, to choose the word of God, to choose God's way of doing things. And Lord, make us and empower us to be a bold people, courageous enough to speak up even when it's tough, even when it's hard, knowing that, sure, we live in a dark world, but we serve a Savior that is so bright, who's so full of light, that your light is great enough to overcome any darkness. Lord, help us to live
Amen.
Available
Amen.
Every day. And help us know that you called us to be in our corner of the world, whatever that might be, to be just that, salt and light, to shine, to be a vessel through which you can shine, to show the world the right way, the way of your truth and your light. In Jesus' name we
yes,
pray.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Reverend Cook, we're in our last segment now. I want to ask if you'll go ahead and finish what you're sharing and any additional things you'd like to share about the work so that our listeners will know how to pray for your ministry, and also share if they're wanting to get in touch to learn more about you or even support how
sure.
they can get in touch as well.
Sure. Well, the end of that story was that the another vote on this Wednesday night at the school board meeting
mm-hmm.
changed over to be against the policy that would include gender and gender identity and and all that stuff in the new school policy. So that was voted down, and we're thankful for that. We know the battle is not over. We're certain that it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be trying to do something to buttress the effort that we put forth this week, and hopefully we'll continue to see God's empowerment and blessing on that. The way that people can get in touch with me, I'm just going to go ahead and give my email address out.
Okay.
And that is REV, as in Reverend, the abbreviation, REV, at BRR, for Black Robe Regiment, so it's BRR hyphen VA, as in Virginia, .com. So it's Rev at BRR hyphen VA .com. And our website is brr-va.com. It's undergoing some maintenance and revision right now. So there's certain features that aren't readily available on the page. So if somebody wants to reach me, the best thing is to send me an email, and I can send you my phone number. Now, if you want to contribute financially, we certainly could use the support. We desperately need it to continue to do the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So the address is 429 Meadowbrook, one word, Shopping Center, number 1031, Culpeper, Virginia, 22701. That's 429 Meadowbrook Shopping Center, 1031, number 1031, Culpeper, Virginia, 22701. And, okay. if you can't write all that down, and just send me an email at rev@brr-va.com, and I'll send you the information. And make checks payable to the Virginia Christian Alliance. Mm-hmm. Clearly denote BRRVA on the memo line.
Okay. And let me say to our listeners, too, again, if you happen to have missed, didn't catch all that, just email us here. I'm jparker@afa.net. And we'll try to get the information that you're needing if you didn't happen to catch all of that. Reverend Cook, in our last few minutes, I want to ask if you'll take time now, share with our listeners ways that, even though they may not be specifically in Virginia, obviously, but ways they can do the same kind of thing in the place where God has placed them. How can they be salt and light in their community, on their job, in their community, in the area, in their school, wherever they might be? How can they take the same perspective, the vision, the mission of the Black Robe Regiment to their individual communities? What
sure.
would you challenge them to do?
The first thing that people need to do is to understand that they have a legitimate role in what's happening in their government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we've been sort of taught that once you're a Christian, you have no business in the business of politics. And what's happening
Which
in the civil
tragic.
Government and the civil society. And so that thinking has got to be changed. The idea of separation of church and state has no basis, zero basis in history or in the thinking of the founding fathers. You know, it was Thomas Jefferson who we attribute the whole idea of separation of church and state to, and that wasn't even in the Constitution. It was in a letter he wrote. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, the day after that letter was written, he signed off on church services meeting in the U.S. Capitol that met there for years. And as it turns out, that became the largest church service in America for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jefferson, he attended the services himself in the United States Capitol. So the idea that of separation of church and state is just a recent phenomenon. It's absurd. We've got to just get that out of our thinking. The church has to be in government. Look, if the church, the sons of light, abandon civil government to the sons of disobedience, we will have tyranny. Because the sons of disobedience, Paul said, the spirit of the age is what is at work in them. So their actions and motivations are derived from the spirit of the age. If we abandon government to the lost, we're going to have a lost government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Christians have got to change their thinking. Number
That's
one.
Right.
Number two, the same for pastors. Pastors have got to change their thinking and understand that pastoring doesn't just encompass what happens behind the four walls of the church. It is awkward. It is hard to step out and begin to do some things in the community. But I will tell you something, pastors, if you don't know this, ask a few of your members. They will, and if they're honest, they'll tell you they're concerned and they really do want their pastors to step up and do something about what's happening in the world around them. And so you're in an office, you are in a divine office, you have authority just by the position that you hold, and your word and your influence carries great weight in the local community. And your community will appreciate your involvement. Sure, you'll get some opposition. That always happens. But you'll know that you're doing the things that God wants you to do, and God is going to bless you, and he'll bless your church. And I just want to encourage you to be bold and very courageous, just like Joshua. Be bold and very courageous to do what God's calling you to do. You are salt. If the salt loses its savor, Jesus said. If it loses its saltiness, if it stops having an influence on the environment around it, it becomes good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. And so that is what we're seeing today in our country. The church has become, in many ways, saltless, and it's lost its savor. And so the culture is increasingly encroaching on the church and seeks to trample it. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get better if we continue to stay out of the game, if you will. It's going to get worse. So, I mean, things that are being done are not the end. You know, we'll end up having, you know, school districts having, you know, pro-LGBT policies. All right. But that's not the end of it, folks. It's coming for you in every way. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the proverb says that the harlot hunts for the precious life. The precious life today is in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so you are the precious life. The devil he's just getting other things out of the way to get to you. So you better arm up and get in the fight. That's what I say. Because the harlot is just acting out what her father does. Mm-hmm. And she's hunting for the precious life. And so they're coming for the church, folks.
Amen.
And we've got to engage before they get to us. So.
And, you know, would say to Reverend Cook, it's good for us as the church to remember, too, you know, in the kingdom of God, it's wise for us to recognize that God's expectation is that we would always be on offense rather than defense. And so it's
Amen.
Important for us
Amen,
to recognize
brother.
That's the proper stance. And our prayer life is largely where we begin, as you alluded to earlier in the program then. So
yes.
Our time is about gone. Thank you so much, Reverend Cook, for coming on. And share your website one more time, if you would.
VRR-VA.com. VRR-VA.com.
All righty. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. It was a privilege. God bless you.
All right. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for the ministry of the Black Robe Regiment of Virginia and Reverend Bill Cook. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.